Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Welcome along. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Good weekend, Scotty.
Spot on, mate. Spot on.
You didn't go out again last night in Blackpool, then you went home.
Had a bit of a taste. Let's say Saturday night, and we were working all day yesterday, and I was due to meet up with Lee Crooks and Gary Cannell, the ex-Castleford front rower, but the lads have been at it since 2 o'clock, and we're not getting finished in this day at 7:30. I felt, well, it might be just a good idea, a bit sensible, just to give it a miss. So it was a quiet night for Scotty last night.
Yeah, I made a joke the other week when I went to Hull. My mum left me a note reminding me to set my coat to Hull because it might be quite cold.
Mm.
When we left the hotel yesterday,
oh, here we go.
I told you, did I not tell you to bring your coat to Bunford?
I didn't have a coat.
Be very cold.
How could I bring a coat when I didn't have one?
So you turned up in your shirt and it was freezing.
Yeah, I look well, didn't I?
It was freezing.
It wasn't freezing when I left my hotel. It was not quite
warm.
Can I
ask you a question? Were you born this daft, or have you just developed?
Simple answer, yeah.
Right, okay.
I'm from Bilal, remember? Which is twinned with Beirut, as I keep telling you.
Yeah, you did. You mentioned that yesterday. You mentioned a few things in commentary. How you'd pay for the curry if Brett Seymour missed this kick.
Oh,
it's all right,
Matt
it all.
Wilson.
We're going to hear it all. Craig's coming as well now, so it's going to get even more expensive. Craig, good rugby weekend, bad rugby weekend. What you been up to?
Well, I was in the Big Smoke, but I've managed to watch all the games. And to be honest with you, I'm a bit disappointed with the quality. I thought there were... There were only one team. I thought London actually played, as I thought, you know, a lot above what they should. Thought the
played
rest
very well, to be fair.
Yeah, they were great to watch. But I think the others, and I've gone through them again today, and I'm thinking, no, not for me. I think the standard weren't as good as last year. I think the average, they got 15,500, is it, throughout. I know Jimmy Lowe's has come out in the press today, hasn't he, and said he thinks it's a no-goer. I don't know.
I think if we'd have played Jimmy Lowe's interview last week, Jimmy Lowe's wouldn't have been allowed to go to the summer bash. It was scathing, shall we say.
All right.
Mm.
Yeah. So I looked at the quality today and studied it a bit, and no, not for me. I thought London were the team of the week. I thought they went and put like 40, 50 on Sheffield. I thought they were fantastic. Other than that, didn't see much else, to be honest, so...
Phil?
Well, I'm glad to see you all got back safely.
Well, me and Scurry were like ships in the night Saturday. He was coming in as I was going out.
The studio's full of Kiss Me Quick hats, rock, and there's a donkey in here.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's sat in front of us.
I thought I'd cross it and one of you could nod it in.
Yeah, he's sat in front of us. I tell you what, if he keeps giving me a lip, he won't be getting out of the studio, I'll tell you. Let's be honest, Mark Wilson.
I think what it did show is that we're in danger of having two different versions of rugby league. That full-time played at Super League level is different to part-time predominantly played at Championship level. There's nothing wrong with putting up teams of equal standard against each other. The Workington-Whitehaven game was one of the best games of the weekend. But I think if we're serious about where the sport goes in the long term, we've got some issues. And I think that Blackpool was a great event in itself. Too many people in perhaps other media outlets just kept comparing it to Super League. It's an event on its own. It's a different competition. You're not comparing like with like. And I think if we saw anything over the weekend, when you see all the teams in one place, it probably is that we haven't bridged that gap between full-time and part-time. And on the evidence of what we saw this weekend, which was hugely enjoyable in its own right, I think it's getting wider.
Well, that's yeah, but Phil... I like to everybody out there. That's how it should be judged, shouldn't it? You know, obviously Lee and Bradford are full time, and they're streets ahead of everybody else. But that's how it should be judged. Because I tell you what, hey, listen, let's not get too carried away with Super League, because there's some rubbish. We watched some rubbish in that and all week by week. Let's just go back 7 weeks ago when we saw Castleford and Huddersfield.
Huddersfield on Thursday.
Absolutely. You know, we watched some rubbish in Super League as well. You know, so let's put this in context to what the summer bash. What I thought. I totally enjoyed it. I think all the fans who turned up there enjoyed it, and it's something that can be built on. There's no two ways about it.
All the fans, you say, 15,000 in total. How many of those bought weekend tickets? How many people actually went? And if you take Lee and Bradford out of it, it probably took 5,000.
Right, okay, then. Right, we're having the Magic Weekend this weekend. Right, we're going to a 52,000 seater. Right.
I have a theory.
Right. Well, we're going to a 52,000 seater. Right. How many will be watching the Castleford Wakefield game at the last game then? It'll be embarrassing. So let's not try and, you know, pull it to bits a little bit. It's the first one that's gone there. People slowly will buy into it, and I think it'll get bigger and better. I do, honestly.
The one thing that James Lowe says, and the people who are not advocates of Magic, that I absolutely agree with, is that when you bring back promotion relegation, this is a skewed round. and who you play can have a determining effect. Why don't we make both the Magic and the Bash weekends part of the regular season, and every season ticket holder goes free?
Good call. Yeah, I'd buy into that.
So how many season ticket holders will we have in Super League in total? 20,000?
How many what, sorry?
Season ticket holders will we have? 25,000, 30,000?
In Super League, you'll have more than that.
50,000, 40,000.
Do you think it'd be that many?
Yeah, well, Leeds have got 15.
You are 50,000. There's only, overall, for all the league, is only 63,000 people for what all the
every
leagues
week,
have got.
Yeah, and they're not all season ticket holders. No. So if you make it free, does it have to make money, or is it a promotional vehicle?
Well, I asked this question to Rich yesterday.
Because if it's who went to
Summer Bash? I'm with Scoy, actually. I think there's mileage in it.
Right.
But who went yesterday that wouldn't have gone, had that, all those games been at Bradford or at Lee or at Featherstone?
I'd like to answer that. I think Scoey's more on what happened on it at the Tower for an hour later on, the Blackpool Tower, where Scoey did a bit of smooching, I think, you know, with a lot of...
Yeah, I did a bit of Rick Astley dancing on the Saturday night, I'll tell you what.
I think there's been swaying that decision what he's on about there. There's more than the rugby on subject here for me.
I don't know, Craig. No, listen, I'm not in the Rugby Football League's pocket here. I just think it's been a good concept, and I think it's been good.
As a stage?
17,500, I think. 19,000, I think it is, isn't it?
17,500. How many will there be in the Championship?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, make it free to go.
So make it free to all of them.
But... why are we appealing to our own people? James Laws asked a question. Why are we asking Bradford fans that support Bradford all over the country to go to Blackpool for a game against Halifax?
Because
if it was at Halifax, they'd get more go.
But if you didn't have that event, it wouldn't be on the television.
The capacity of Bloomfield Road is 17,000. The stand, which was closed off for us media professionals to lounge around and eat free cornettos, is 5,120. So about... 12,000.
What I would say is the atmosphere in the ground was brilliant. Yeah. It's very acoustic, the ground, isn't it? Even small pockets of fans, the Donny fans, there weren't many of them, made a lot of noise yesterday. The Workington Whitehaven game, there were probably 200 or 300 at each end. Brilliant atmosphere. So I think the arena's the right one, but I don't know what is the aim of it? Is it
can
to get
I,
more
can
fans
I ask a question?
To watch
what was Lawsy saying about the Big Bash? I didn't hear that interview. Or what was he saying?
He's not a fan of it. He said it's a waste of time. Why are we taking people away?
Oh, away from your own grounds, I see.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You know,
right,
and you're asking the same people that go every week just to pay more money to watch the same game.
Right.
And I think there is a lot of mileage in that. I went to Blackpool and I didn't have to pay to get in. And I still bet I spent £200 in 36 hours with your board and your petrol to get there and your car parking, which is absolute extortion in Blackpool, and then a night out and you've done £200, and that's me going on, that's me, just me. That's not me with a family of two kids that want to eat everything in the ground. I just think, in fairness, I think it's a big ask, and I think we overlook that sometimes. Maybe you might be right, Phil. If it's free, if you're a season ticket holder, there's an incentive to go.
It's part of the regular season, so it's a game. See, that's the other thing. It's an extra game.
But as well, Phil, you're on about the question you're going to be asking is in there. You've just said it wouldn't be TV. They don't know TV. Question yourself why. Why is that the only time? And I've just done it today. If you're going to watch, is it how many games altogether? 9-8 of a weekend.
On the telly,
it takes some doing. Don't need to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It takes some doing after about 3 hours, thinking, "Oh, here we go." And then you try to keep with it and still enjoy the experience. It's overkill, isn't it? Really, if you think about it. And Scobie's just said there, if you watch next week's games, by the last two, if you watch it on telly, whether you go, you've had enough. You're thinking this is overkill. You can't watch too much. So, I'm not really. I'm a bit of a Jimmy Lowe's fan on this one. I don't know.
I think it has publicity merit if that's what we're doing it for, but we seem to want to make money out of it as well.
How many people from Blackpool went?
I would imagine that, apart from a few Super League shirts who went to make a weekend of it, those were the only neutrals that were attracted. But it was showcased on satellite television for the entire weekend. Now, the sponsor gets value out of that. The sport gets a value out of that. If that's what we're doing it for, that's great. But make it part of the regular season. Don't do it as an add-on. And as I say, the people have already paid, let them in for free.
Okay, no worries. Let us know at RL on RY. And there's some exciting games. There weren't many classics. The game of the weekend, spoilt, I think, by the refereeing. We'll discuss that in a minute. But before we do that, we have got an important bit of business to take care of, Gary Schofield. So make sure your ears are cleaned right out. Are you ready? Seriously, are you ready? Are you ready?
I hope
we're going back. We're going back.
Yeah, I hope we're going back 5 weeks for the forfeit, Mr. Wilson.
We are.
There's two sides to this story.
Yeah, there's two sides. Yes. Yeah. There's your side and the correct side.
Mark Wilson, you've lost the first forfeit. Ding, ding. You've lost round one. Ding, ding. Round two. The game for the forfeit is Wakefield v Lee, and you can have the choice. Mark Wilson, you can have the choice. Are you going for Wakefield or are you going for the other side of the river in Lee? Live. Come on, Mark Wilson.
This is a double forfeit, I assume.
Yeah, this is double or nothing. Come on, no. It's a simple question. Wakefield or Lee?
I'm going to go for Lee.
What do you think about that, Wakefield fans? I rest my case.
Well, here he is. Here's one we made earlier.
He's gone for Lee.
Richie's saying well done. And he's
Richie, wow, can you believe that?
I think that's very shocking. That's very kind spirit of you, actually, Scotty. And what it just proved to me is that you didn't have the bottle to make the call, so that's not a problem. I'm happy to make it for you. You didn't have the bottle to say you were frightened. I'd have said Wakefield.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, there
the
you
next
go.
Question I'm asking you.
What's your column called? Pulling no punches. Sounds like to me like you're sitting on the fence there.
The next question I'm asking you, how many start do we get?
None.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. With Mark Wilson.
Right, so that's cleared that up then. So our forfeits now are at 1-1. Now comes on to the next point, and people at home are listening, we're going, what they're about? We had a bet, didn't we, on... I backed Halifax to beat Wakefield. Got it wrong, you give me double the quits. I backed Lee to beat Wakefield. We're 1-1. But then yesterday, because we're going out for a meal tonight after the show, yesterday, you said this.
15 minutes and counting left. Clock ticking down to 14 minutes. And Brett Seymour's got a kick at goal here. We've got a good view of this one. He's two from two, although they've both been pretty adjacent to the sticks. Can he add the extras here? Just knows Dewsbury back in front. Is it going to be a kicking contest between Brett Seymour and Scott Leatherbarrow?
Right, for the Indian tomorrow, I'll back him in.
Ball. He's missed. He's in the post. I got that on record.
Me big gob. No.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
So the question is, Scotty, how many people are we allowed to invite tonight?
Me and you.
Phil's coming. Craig's coming. Richie's coming.
Yeah, well, the forfeit's between me and you, not everybody else.
Stitched up like a kipper.
Oh, he stitched himself up. It was brilliant. As soon as he said it, that penalty hit the post.
Hold on, just a little defect. I didn't hear you say yes or no to the goal kick, did you?
You said it.
Yeah, but if it had gone between the sticks, would you have said, yeah, okay, score? Because it was all at the side of the post. I reckon you might.
No, you were making a blasé comment, so I'm not having it. It's there. People can hear it. At RL on RY. What do you want? We're all off for a curry after the game. You're more than welcome. If you can get here, you know where we are. Get along. Scully's paying. Right, okay, let's talk seriously about the rugby now. Featherstone Lee. We're going to hear from Paul Rowley in a minute. I'll ask Craig first. Lee Centurions. Very, very good rugby league team. Very good. I don't think anyone doubts that. But is their reputation starting to precede them, or are they using their reputation to maintain their results?
I think the second one more than the first. I think they do play some rugby. There's not many teams play on first and second like they do. Somebody like Scow is a big advocate for throwing it about. They do throw it about. They've got some great players, and you've got to give Paul Rowley his due. He's got to be one of the coaches. They haven't been beat this year. They're in the quarter final of the Challenge Cup. It's a big signing in Mickey Iam. Remember, to actually get a signing like Mickey Iam to come to a club, there must be ambition there to think that they can go to one higher. I'm sure Mickey wants to go on. So yeah, do I like the stuff what they do? No, some of it's not right. But then again, I watched the game today, and there was some stuff Ed did that were, you know, maybe that teams are prepared, thinking mentally, right, it's going to be on here. First chance to do out. You know, I only think I can knock, I think I said it earlier on. it's handbags at the moment, isn't it? And it's rugby league is a tough sport, and usually if they're going to throw, they throw, and they there's not much throwing. It seems to be grabbing and 10 people around the ball, and we're not about that, are we? You know, I can't advocate somebody chinning somebody, but if you look at it, by the time they do all the handbags and they're doing this, there were four times in the game it got stopped for about 2.5 minutes of time. There's 16 players, and not one person's doing. You know, I don't like that. Actually, quite an honest sport we've got, and if they want to do it, they should do it quick and get on with it. Both go for the sin bin and let's get on with game. I don't like the grubbiness of anything, but it won't just to be fair to Lee. It wasn't just Lee yesterday, I thought, but I think teams are preparing for it and saying, first time Barlow, first time this, first time that, get stuck in, don't back down, and then this is creating this thing. It's good for Lee because they haven't been beat. So, in answer to your question, definitely, if it is tactical, he's a clever kid.
Phil, should Gareth Hawk have been sent off, sin-binned for that strike on Baldwinson?
Most certainly should have been sin-binned. And I think an early message to both of those teams that the referee wasn't going to accept that kind of rolling around and slowing down at the play of the ball and niggling stuff, as you say, not you know, tough stuff, just stopping the game having any sort of flow. Then the sooner he did that, the better, to be honest. He missed the opportunity to do it then, and it was an offence that would have warranted it. I just don't think Lee are too bothered about making friends at the moment. I think there's absolutely no doubt that they have unquestioned ability, that for over a year they've been building towards where they are now, that the only thing that matters to them is getting to where they want to go. They're not bothered about the niceties of, you know, you might come back down at some stage and you'll meet the same people going the other way. I just don't think that occurs to them at the moment, and perhaps that comes with winning matches every week. I'm not sure that the great Wigan team of the late 80s and early 90s had that kind of aura about them. I think they had the ultimate respect of people, that you hated them winning every week because it was taking something away from the competition. They were just so good. But what you had was admiration. You would have wanted that ethos in your club and some of their players to play at your club. I just don't think Lee are going down that route. It's all about us. It's all about circling the wagons. We don't care about anybody else. That's being perceived a little bit on the outside as a touch of arrogance. And that's a dangerous road to go down, I think.
Scully, you said yesterday, as I did, I thought it was disgraceful he didn't get at least 10 minutes. The referee basically lit the blue touch paper himself yesterday, didn't he, by not getting rid of Gareth Hawk and eliminating the problem.
Yeah, he did. Quite simply, if Gareth Hawk had been sent off, which he should have been sent off, you know, we're talking about, you know, we play safety and concussion and head injuries and what have you, know, quite clearly a punch, and I'm not picking on Gareth Hawk, you know, quite simply, you know, Gareth at times, as we all know, is very much a fool to himself.
Well, in fairness, when he got,
you know,
Simbin, yeah, at the end, we actually say probably there was probably nothing in that. He got Simbin because he was Gareth Hawk at the end, I think.
Well, yeah, maybe so, but anyways, you know, we spoke about Gareth Hawk many times now, but I think at the end of the day, he's not going to learn the lesson, is he? He couldn't care less. He's not bothered, so he's not going to learn the lesson. But I, you know, the way that Lee Hart, and I say I praise him so much, and I praise the coach, Paul Rowley, you know, he should be in the line from a point of view of not the England coach, or certainly the coaching staff. I certainly like the way they play, certainly with ball in hand. But when you look at the niggling stuff, what's going on defensively, you know, let's go back to, you know, when Michael Maguire got brought up by Wigan, and this is where it's all stemmed from here, with wrestling coaches and all this messing about the play of the ball, the, you know, the chicky wing tackle, then we've got the cannonball tackle, and then we've got the splitter between the legs. We saw with that Warrington player at St Helens, whether that was meant or whether it wasn't, that kid, he may never play again, Ryan. So it's all this what's bringing on, and now it's coming to a head, and yeah, Lee aren't making any friends. They're making friends when they play the attractive rugby league, but as we all know with the record so far this season, we've got how many sending offs and the sin binnings, and Paul at times, you know, seems to be defending his pledge, which I guess all coaches should do.
Bradford,
but
what were it, three in the bin apiece or whatever,
and Halifax as well, yeah. So
players sent off,
so yeah, like all coaches will do, they will defend the players, and I guess from a point of view of the stuff, because what they're thinking is, well, what they have done, they've built a wall around themselves, this is us against them. That's their attitude, and whatever they think about us, we couldn't care less, and we're just going to go on with the job in hand and see how far we can get with this sort of philosophy, what they're putting in. But let me just say again, as a rugby league team with the ball in hand, I'll tell you what, they're good to watch. And, you know, with Ridyard and Bailey there at halfbacks, and the creativity, McNally at the back, the forwards do get stuck in, but it's just still, that ugliness. And Wigan still, as we know, we Wigan at times and this sort of thing, but you know, it's all this rubbish what goes on and the wrestling and all this sort of thing, which is causing a huge problem.
Go on, Craig.
I spoke to Jordan this morning, Baldwinson, and he
was outstanding yesterday.
He was, yeah.
But he got an open slap, but he said when it caught him, he didn't know if it would punch or a slap, so he said, I actually backed off and did a bit of a spin, then I thought, I don't think it was his fist, it was actually, he said, I just felt, you know, that. So Jordan actually said he's done the face backgrounds today. You know, he said don't have a mecha boxer. He's got, you know, he's got a loose chin. Jordan's took it all a bit of heart. You know, a thing. I really believe Scully's picked up on it. Jose Mourinho's just won the Premier League title. If you read his books and you read into his what he's about, it's about building this wall of silence within their change rooms, and it's supposed to be, well, he even creates it when it goes to away teams, or they don't like it, and he's already popping at the manager from the Tuesday, Wednesday. So the mental side of it is, right, we're going in, there's only us here. I think Lee used that to their thing. Is your problem with that is if you go to Warrington in 3 weeks and eventually something's going to happen, then all of a sudden that's not worked, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure it'll happen. I'll have a bet with you now. In the build,
have one with Scully.
In the build, he's easy. Yeah. Well, I'll have a tinderlo with Scully.
There'll be a subway. I'm looking at it. There'll be a subway with Craig.
The build up to the Warrington game, there will be verbals and there'll be some. It'll start. Watch what happens within 10 days, 2 weeks, and it's the mind games. And if you read Tony Smith's article today, it's already started.
I was just going to say that, Craig.
It's
going to
go off like a balloon, and you can see it, and it'll be mind game. It's like if you watch these UFC fights, the boxing, it's psychological, and I think it'll start from now.
It has started now, and you know, and I think, you know, with Tony, and I applaud exactly openness and honestness, and I'll tell you what, he's no respect for Mickey Hyman anymore, so there's certainly something going on there which we're not privy to. I don't know if Craig is a little bit, but one thing for sure, this has already started now. This a little bit of war of words, and I'll tell you what, if they don't have a strong referee, because we know it's going to be on television, is it on Sky or the BBC, whichever one it is, if it doesn't have a very, very strong referee, and if some people don't have a quiet word behind the scenes and say, listen, you know, this is, you know, our Challenge Cup is going to be live on television, let's not make it where people are talking about rugby league and the fuggery what may could happen. It's as simple as that.
Rich, you were there. Sorry, I didn't even speak to you for the first 12. We were all that excited that we were getting a free curry off Scully. I forgot to mention you.
Oh, no,
what did you make?
We all
are.
There's only us two having a bet.
I've got a big appetite. What did you make of Lee at the weekend, pal?
I think, as everyone said, when they play rugby, they're a fantastic team to watch, and it was great to watch them live in the flesh. I thought Feddersen played some good stuff as well, but they got dragged into it, Fev, by Lee's tactics. And as everyone has said, if the referee had given Hock a sin binning for the slap, for the punch, whatever, the game could have been a little bit different. But credit Lee, when they play rugby league, they're a fantastic team to watch and very entertaining to watch in the flesh. It'll be interesting to see, though, how they get on against Warrington in the Challenge Cup, because that could be a game where if Warrington play to their best, which they haven't always this season, that will be a massive, massive test.
Is it any coincidence, Will Kaplan, that every time they do start, they were getting beat by Bradford in week one, they started. They were getting beat at Wakefield last week, they started after half time. They were in a game yesterday,
Halifax,
they started,
well,
and at Halifax, they were in a tight game,
no,
they started.
It's not coincidental. That is part of their makeup. I just thought it was interesting to hear the two coaches interviewed afterwards. Andy Hay acknowledged the fact that it hadn't been the kind of spectacle that perhaps the occasion demanded. We wanted it to be the headline act. Normally when you go to see a concert, the teams that are on last are the ones that you leave till the end, which makes you wonder about the magic fixtures, which no doubt we'll be coming back to later in the programme. But we were all on the edge of our seats, whether in front of the television or presumably in the ground, wanting a spectacle. Now, we knew that there'd be an announcement from Nigel Wood just after the end saying it had been a huge success, but actually that was slightly distilled by the fact that the last game that you watched was probably the least enjoyable. But Andy Hay came out and said, yeah, we got embroiled in something and we were wrong. We could have played better if we hadn't allowed ourselves to be dragged into the tactics. Paul Rowley came out and said, I didn't think we did anything wrong.
We're going to hear from Paul Rowley in a minute.
I stood up for players who it's very hard to condone. I mean, they've taken Gareth Hock on, presumably, as the latest in a line to think of him as a project, that they'll be the ones that can turn him around. There's absolutely no evidence on what we've seen so far that he's changed at all. So there's a hint there that we can do what no other coach has done.
Listen, when you recruit, you know what you're getting, don't you? If you put ingredients into a cake, you know what cake you're going to get. So if you look at the signings, some of them you know. But Mickey Ayham will be a good one, because Mickey Ayham, within the game of rugby and with the players, is very well respected. And I know at Warrington, the biggest people were devastated about that were the players.
But what's the point of coming out and defending Gareth Hawke when he goes and watches the video, it's almost indefensible?
Because that's the ploy, that's the name of the game.
But it leaves you open to the fact that then you're in self-delusion.
Can I just maybe say, you know, you might say, well, Scully, that was in your day a little bit, but I'm sure they wanted to forwards now. You know, Benny Westwood, he won't be taking a backwards stick, will he? He'll take them all on, you know. And like in our days, it was quite simple. Well, listen, if they want it, they're going to get it. So we're not waiting for them. We're not waiting for them to take the lead. You know, it's a quite simple. Do we want it easy today, or do we want it a little bit naughty? You know. And so my advice to anybody, well, if you fancy it, take them on. Take them on. Simple as that. See how tough they really are. And if they want it for 80 minutes, because I spoke to a couple of ex-forwards, you know, from my day, you know, and quite simple, you know, they said, well, yeah, they would get it. And if they didn't like it, they'd get some more. It's as simple as that. So, meet fire with fire. And I'm sure Warrington forwards are talking about it now. And I bet Benny Westwood is just absolutely rubbing his hands together, and that forward pack as well at Warrington.
Yeah, but listen, you watch our Indian game, and if you watch the preview, if somebody throws one in early doors, so it says, right, you know, this is going to happen, I'll guarantee you what Scully's saying is right. If you read the books, they'll say, right, first 10, if it goes off, duck your chin in and throw it right hand. So it's, to me, that seems more honest than what goes off yesterday.
Exactly.
Because the bank, it's all of it. I think it one where Beaton had said they needed to get Gus Goldson, your commentator, and said, get all that adrenaline out, yes, and let's get on with game. But also, one of the best five-minute fights I've ever seen in Origin history.
But also, what I'm saying, Craig, is that is if it happens once, just tell them. If you want it again, you're going to get it again in the next 2 minutes. Yeah. And if you want it again, you're going to get it in the next 5 minutes. And if you want it for 80 minutes, you're going to get it, because, you know, you know that they're nice. And I play with, you know, with the tough guys, you know, in Lee Crooks and Trevor Skinner and Andy Platt and Carl Harrison and Carl Fairbank. And could you imagine Jim Mills, you know, can you imagine Jim Mills saying, well, listen, if you want it for 80, you're getting it for 80 minutes. So, okay, Max, we're scoring, you know, we're not going back to the fuggery and we're not going back to this and that, but I'm sorry. You've got to put put a marker down, and you've got to stand up for yourself.
What did JP do at Leeds? He just threw right hand four times and it kicked off. Were you there? You know, he didn't go on for 25 minutes. Yeah, he went bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Got 10 minutes, and that was it. Let's get on with game. So, listen, they're good for the game in all the good things they do.
Absolutely.
Let's get rid of all that and let's get on with. Let's start talking about the rugby.
Well, here is Paul Rowley, kind enough, and he's a friend of the station, so I don't want it to seem like it's a witch hunt, but something's got to happen. Here's what he said. I think, well, asking the questions, make out of his answers what you will.
Was the game spoiled by the sending off, or do you feel?
It looked as though it was going to be a real cracker at one point.
Well, you can't go around gouging people, so, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to get a sent off, I thought. I thought we had to work really, really hard. I thought there was no control of the ruck, real poor control of the ruck, and, you know, that was evident with the fact that both teams had only made 3 or 4 changes at half time. Well, actually into the second half, you know what I mean? So it was a slow game. I thought we had to work really hard to score 30-odd points on this tight pitch with a slow ruck. And then when we'd got them, we put our cue on the rack and allowed Featherstone to dictate somewhat.
Thank you.
And it became ugly and scrappy then for the rest of the game. But we'd done the job. And I'm delighted, really, because we've had to real muscle up there against some rough treatment, if you like. I'm pleased that our discipline were good against a lot of testing times, you know, so we've made some good progress there, and I'm delighted with the win.
You say that though, Paul, but should Gareth Hawke have got sent off? He did strike Jordan Baldwinson in the face
with a flat hand, and you know, I think no, not a red card. The fact that you wouldn't have said that if it were Greg McNally, you wouldn't be asking me that question. So the fact that it was Gaz Hawke, then
Well, it seemed to me
he carries
the
that burden. Doesn't
he got sent off. Oh, he got sin bin for something and nothing.
No, but yeah, Gaz Moore got sin bin for a clear punch. So should Gaz Moore have got sent off? So that's what I'm saying to you. It depends who you are, not what you've done. I think at the moment, and the one he got sin bin for, Sharp, came in first when he had no right to, and Gaz protects his players with pulled his shirt. Perhaps he's a bigger boy, so he'll always do it more aggressively than Sharp will. We're happy. We're happy, which, you know, maybe he did get drawn in a little bit. Like I said, that ruck was very, very frustrating. I think everybody can see how disappointing that ruck. We all come to Blackpool for some sun, some fun, and some quick rugby and entertaining rugby. So I think the officials had too many of them free cornettos that were going out, and maybe it suited them a little bit slower.
Okay, let's concentrate on the good stuff. When you play rugby, your team, you're brilliant to watch. You just want more of that?
100%, yeah. And we know that, you know, we're quite confident now that we're going to be in the middle eight. So we want to prepare ourselves for quick games. And so we enjoy playing rugby and playing good rugby. Like I said, that's part of what we are as a team. And that's what makes it fun, and that's why we have a good time and we like playing.
Do you feel that your disciplinary issues are giving people a reason to try and target you that way? Because you are getting players sin-binned and sent off at the minute.
Yeah, I think there's one Lancashire team in the whole league, so work that out for yourself, you know. And everyone wants a pop at champions, don't they? So, you know, I suppose it's better gang up. We'll all gang up and pick on the Lancashire kids. There's no discipline issues at our club.
Okay. In that respect, is that not something you feel you need to speak to your players about? Are you just concentrating on playing good rugby? Because when you do play well, there's no, 26 wins or whatever, you know, no one can stop you at the minute.
What I would say, the message I give our players is don't get dragged in and don't get drawn in. So, you know, a referee's there to protect us and control a ruck and stop the niggle. Unfortunately, sometimes we get dragged in. I think last year every visit to Redhall we had was a retaliation offence, so that tells its own story. So,
great bit of business getting Mickey Iam in. How did you pull that one off?
Through the front door, totally through the front door, and done genuinely and honestly. Our owner put an offer, made an inquiry to Simon Moran, who put an £100,000 offer down, which we refused, and counter offered, which they accepted. Very front door, very up front.
Excellent. I think everyone that came from a relief perspective wanted to see him score today. He did score. You've got to be delighted bringing someone like that to your club, haven't you?
Well, we've got two fantastic hookers at our club. We're blessed. And so, you know, Mickey was outstanding today, as was Bob Bezick. For Mick to get the try under the post was fitting, and probably brought a tear to the eye of his family and close friends, I'm sure.
So you roll on now, just keep winning. Like you said, looking pretty certain you're going to be in that eight. I guess now the games can't come thick and fast enough, can they?
Well, there's a big game round every corner. Halifax, Wakefield, Featherstone, you know, so it's good preparation. It's tough. And it asks a lot of questions of us mentally and physically, but currently we're answering them in a positive way, so that's good.
And how much is this unbeaten run a motivation for the guys in there? Because they won't want to be in that team that does lose when you eventually
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it's actually not. We don't speak about it at all. I think when it comes to an end, then it'll be like, probably kick yourself, but at present it's just about week by week, and I've always had that philosophy, and you know that. So we don't mention that. We just want to win each game, and that's not an added pressure or an added motivation, but it'll be something to look back on. That
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Paul Rowley, speaking after the game yesterday. Scully, you've put Paul Rowley up for next England man, England coach. Is he Rugby League's Jose Mourinho?
Well, I'm not into, as you well know, psychology or reverse psychology, whatever psychology you want, but I'm just, yeah, as I said 5 minutes ago, they've certainly built that wall around themselves, and quite simply, they don't think they're doing anything wrong, do they? But the respect I have for Paul Rowley, the respect I have for Lee as a rugby league club, and also to the way that they play with ball in hand.
No one disputes how they play rugby. This is what
I'm saying. I don't have any issues with that, but you know, if Paul thinks everybody's against him from the tea lady to the officials to opposition supporters. I just feel as though it's a little bit wrong, to be honest with you. And I'd like Paul just to maybe show a little bit more respect to the opposition, if I'm honest with you.
Andy A came out and said his side got involved in the tactics to their detriment. Paul Rowley's blaming Featherstone's roughhouse. He said his side did well not to react to roughhouse tactics.
I think there's another issue, that something that he said there that I think struck home was, and we heard it live, and when you hear it again, it actually sounds probably a little bit worse than it did live. I think the phrase that struck home for me the most is he thought his team put the queue on the rack. I just think that's incredibly disrespectful. I mean, there may well be, let's say Featherstone get into the top four, they're the fourth team, so they're in the middle eights together with Lee, and Lee have got to beat Featherstone to get into that fourth and fifth game. Let's just say that's the scenario that unfolds. It might be that Lee have already got promoted by then. I'm not sure you leave things like that hanging in the air. I think you're providing motivation for the opposition. I'm not sure that's the cleverest tactic in the world. I think that comes from a belief that you are almost invincible, and the one thing I think we can all agree on is that sometime this season Lee are going to lose a game, and it's how they react to that. But at the moment they're creating this supposed aura around them that other people are desperate to crack. I think there's a tiny little bit going on with Wigan at the moment as well, and I don't know if it's something in the water in the borough of Wigan, but Sean Wayne, before his team went to Catalan, put out a statement, if it's been accurately recorded, because I wasn't there, but it was in the media as, I'm really looking forward to the next 2 weeks, because by Saturday night in Newcastle, we'll be top of the league. Well, A, you got to beat Catalan first, which is never easy, and as we know, didn't quite work out that way. And then, that's, I presume, your psychology of going into playing Leeds, who would have been the team that you would then have to beat to go top of the league. Yeah, I'm not sure that's a desperately clever tactic. It's not showing respect. Mourinho gets away with it because his teams tend to win things. I think you're just on very shaky ground until you have won things.
I spoke to Ryan today, and I met Paul. I think actually I've had conversations with Paul. And thought, he sounds really nice kid, and it's what we want. We want young managers, British. This is exactly what we want. So let's not lose. We're going to lose it. I watched the game twice today, the Featherstone game. It were both teams, to be fair. What Paul's saying on that one, judging on that one, if you didn't go previous, which people say, well, you have to. I think we just need to. They can do it the right way, and I think the signings like Mickey Iam. And I spoke to Ryan, and the question you've just asked about the change room, he says Paul purely talks about playing football. He doesn't actually, I'm only telling you as I said it, he doesn't talk about let's get into these, let's slow this down, let's get into a meet, let's get into this individual, he wants this. He said, Craig, I genuinely, we don't. He was disappointed after the game, Ryan, that he just wanted to play football. He said, if you look at the opportunities we created, it wasn't enough. Which for an halfback, he said, I thrive off a bit of go forward, a bit of offload, a bit of line running. We got no, because it were all sucked into that horrible, grubby.
Yeah, but I tell you what though, Craig, right? All that rubbish what went on after that Gareth Hawke incident, if Gareth Hawke had been sent off, the referee would have made a statement, and this is how it's going to be. If anybody else was it, you'd have been sent off. So there wouldn't have been any of that rubbish. So, you know, so there would,
it
you know,
it
would,
it, it,
it would, you know, it would have been a far more attractive game. Because don't get me wrong, that first try, what Featherston scored was excellent. Featherston liked to throw the ball about a little bit, so it would have been a far more attractive game of rugby league. The referee bottled it. Gareth Hawke should have been sent off, and that's why we're talking about a game between two quality teams was quite simply a grubby, awful game and a bad advertisement for our game.
Well, it was.
If you're a team from Super League that is going to be in that middle eight and you're facing Lee, you know exactly what tactics to play now.
Well, the thing is, are you going to get away with it? You know, I'm not being rude. Bradford play Lee soon. I'm worried that's going to be World War III.
Do you know what?
I'm hearing coming out of Bradford, is going to be World War III.
I'll tell you what, it won't surprise me. This might be a little bit daft to say, but I'll tell you what. I bet Laws is. I bet he wants to put it. I bet Laws, it wouldn't surprise me if Laws picks himself in that game.
I'm Carl Harrison.
I'm telling you. I bet you Laws. I bet you he's sharpening them boots. And I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if he puts himself in the 17. And then he'll set the example. He'll be like that. He'll face and say, come on then. If you want it A-boys there, we'll have it A-boys there. But that game there, it's going to be so stop-start, that could be... a 3v3 at the end.
But it's not the return fixtures, it's the issue. They've got to play each other again in the middle eight, and that's when it'll mean even more. The return fixture in terms of league position doesn't really mean anything. When they play each other in the middle eight, it means everything.
Well, it could mean something, couldn't it? Because it wouldn't depend on where they play in the third game.
Because one of those championship teams, as a bare minimum, is playing in the fourth v fifth game. So the first thing either Lee or Bradford have got to do is beat each other.
Yeah.
Just picking up on something there, it, when you say that the other teams are not thinking about the rugby and that, that's what we're actually answering your own question. Them teams are not thinking about game plan. So it's actually working because they're thinking the same, yeah, right. As soon as you get for that, actually, what you forget is it started at second mid on right wing. Mm-hmm. Young Blackie got involved with their winger picks him back up. They all the little scrappy. It started twice before the Ork incident. So it were already on the cards. But if teams are thinking, and I know rugby lads think because I'm with them every day, they're sat thinking straight away before a game, if anything goes off, we're going to show a bit of fronty. Well, they're not thinking about game plan either. They're not thinking about getting to a point on field and play. So they've already started. It's negative from the start.
Radio Yorkshire. Your home of rugby league on DAB, online via the TuneIn app.
Do you know what I mean? Because I can remember one coach, he's the worst coach I ever played under. We brought him to Leeds, Doug Lawton. You know what Doug Lawton used to say to me? And it was a huge part of my game. He would say, "Scully, stop chipping over the top, because the only thing that goes with chips is fish." And I looked at him and I thought, no, not at all. And are you trying to be funny? Yeah, he told me to stop. You know, a part of my game, which is a huge part of my game, you know, I was playing for club football, international football. Yeah, stop chipping over the top, because all the things that goes with chips is fish.
I've read somebody who Phil knew a lot. Well, I never actually got a chance to watch him play, John Holmes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a famous story where an Aussie international came to Leeds. I don't know who what, and he said to John Holmes in training, in thing, "What do you want me to do?" And Holmes, he said, "Just where the gap is, just get your hands ready." And this guy saying, "No, we do this and we do that." He says, "We're in a bar, just look for a gap and get your hands ready."
And I'll hit you.
The third minute in the game, he's just hit this gap and Holmes is into 25-yard pass into his breast mask. He's gone untouched, which he said he'd never done in his career. Untouched behind post, but more than, they said, "Well, this is an easy game, isn't it?" Let the half-bat have the brain, you just look where the gap is. Yeah. We seem to complicate that job too much.
Well, when you look at it, to say the way that the game is done, we all know it's changed and all this sort of thing, but you know, play behind the back too many times, you know. Do you know what, at times I think to myself, players, they want the ball in their hand instead of being dummy runners, because most of them at times, some of them don't even get the ball in their hand, they're mainly being dummy runners, you know, when they're playing behind the back, and some of them just want the ball run hard and straight, try and bust that tackle and a quick play of the ball, and running to get. Paul Dixon was excellent for me as a standoff for Leeds in Great Britain. Harry used to say to Dicko, "Just stay on that blind hand side, I'm coming back there on the third and fourth tackle." I spotted that lazy defender and it was a great combination. Great combination.
Okay, yep. Good stuff. Plenty more tweets coming in at RL on RY, Rich.
Yeah, Christy says, "Leave for Doncaster in a cracking game. Wanted to finish the 80 minutes even with his dislocated finger." This is a graphic now. "Poking through the skin." Ouch.
Who's that?
Leave for Doncaster.
Sean Leaf.
All right.
This one I brought mine, it didn't poke through, but that's the good news. And a bit of chat about Paul Cook. I think people realise, not necessarily being completely serious about him taking over, but "Can you imagine," says Justin, "sat for the championship for not winning all season, then rock up in Super League," and I've put a little smiley of someone crying with laughter. But there you go. And people not happy with video referees. Castle Ass 009, "Yep, they're useless." So
fair enough. We'll
send that one to the RFL. And Ray, if he's all for scrapping it, this is video referees. I agree with him. They're making errors that people shouldn't make. He says,
"Well done, well edited, well edited." I like what you did there, Rich. Yeah. Wakefield, Scully. They got rid of the coach because he was all the problems, and they lost again.
Apparently, though, sorry to butt in, Gary, they showed pride yesterday in the second half in the shirt, so please, everyone's happy again now. Because
please,
Wakefield till I die.
Please. Do you really want to come to me, Matt Wilson, and talk about Wakefield?
Well, you were mourning over the weekend. You said, "Why are we going to talk about it?" We said we'd give him 37.
Tom Johnson scored a great try.
That's star it. Of the future.
That's it for Wakefield.
Star of now.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything about. I don't want to say anything about. I just feel sorry for Michael Carter, the supporters, and the rest of the directors, and at the end of the day, the players at this moment in time are a disgrace.
Who would you get as coach? I think that is something we can debate, because they've said they're going to take a couple of weeks now. Obviously, Glenn Morrison was perhaps their first choice. Does it make it more difficult now that he may not be able to take that job.
Well, we're going to hear from Glenn in a minute, so go on.
Whoever else might be deemed to be the second choice.
Well, the 12 contenders, 12 people have applied for it. Craig, have you heard any more names?
Everybody's saying that Glenn's on, whether Dewsbury, Max said, Max's quite honest, that's one of the most honest chairman I've ever met in my life. So whatever he says, I believe, and he's saying at the moment they're not letting him talk to him. Mm. And I'd take that as gospel with Mark.
Are they just forcing the price up, do you think?
No, because listen, would you think about this one? He's got a nice job there. He's paid a good salary. He's got a chairman who's actually probably the most honourable men I met in my time as a chairman. He's got a good club. He's improving it every year. You're going to go to Wakefield, put your reputation on the line at the moment with the squad.
Yeah. No, it's not that, because Glenn answers a lot of the things
Dewsbury
that you're saying.
Dewsbury in the top four, they're going to be playing against Wakefield in the middle eight.
Could be. Glenn Morrison, Rich, you're the resident Wakefield fan. We'll let you have your moment in the sun. Look, he's doing really well at Dewsbury. Is he the man?
I think if I was Glenn Morrison, I'd be thinking, do I want to leave a stable job at Dewsbury for a team?
A stable job. He puts in a lot of work himself. He's building it, like you said, Craig. He's building it, isn't he? He's building something there. Is he jumping out of the pan and into the fire?
To go to a club, you know, at Dewsbury they have expectations or whatever, but they're not saying we're going to win the championship and get promotion. He goes from there, nice job, straight to Wakefield, bottom of the table, going to be in that fight in the middle eight, might be playing Dewsbury again next season. Do you really want to give up a nice job at Dewsbury when, if you keep performing as you are, and your reputation grows, you could get a bigger job at a bigger club in the near future?
Okay.
Who would I want as coach? No idea.
Simple for me. He would be absolutely bonkers to leave Dewsbury to go to Wakefield. That's the end of it for me. He would be absolutely bonkers.
Right, okay. Who is going to get the job then?
As again, my opinion, it'll be somebody who wants to get back in the game, and is that the best coach? I don't know. I think they might, you know, that you look at the CV on that, you've got to look at it, it's a hell of a challenge. So somebody who's actually, you know, going to have to win quick and change it round quick. I know a lot, I've got two or three players there, the lads are a lovely set of lads, Michael, they all speak well of Michael, it's not that, it's just the position they're in. And you're looking at what Lee and that one game did. You know, I thought Wakefield had the game dominated, and then it all went Pete Tong after that bit of a thing with...
Do they need a kick up the backside? Danny Kerman spoke to us last week. He said some of the players need a kick up the backside. He was a bit more direct about it than that. I mean, is that what they need?
We talked about the start of the season. I don't know what they spent on the cap. We looked at the recruitment. I don't know what expectations Michael and his staff had. I don't know, because I don't know Michael personally that well, but... I wouldn't have said every Wakefield fan of this ever want top eight. I think they were all expecting to be, you know, near enough, obviously, hopefully a bit better because of the start they got. But that were a bit false, wasn't it? Because they suddenly started to believe that they could do it. Webster come out, kept saying every week, we've got this missing, that. I think that were a bit negative. I think he should have beaten the drum a bit more, but I felt sorry for him as a young coach in that position. As I say, I think it's going to have to be somebody with a need to get back in the game, and that'll be the man.
Or an assistant coach with ambition who would take that job in the knowledge that it's a step up from what they're doing at the moment, and you could throw a name into the ring. I did ask him on Friday and he said absolutely not.
Phil, how is that ambition taking over that rubbish?
Because you've got the senior role at a Super League. There's
only working with that rubbish. I'm not saying something about Michael Carton, but I'm on about them players. Working with that rubbish.
There are some talented players there who in the middle age would be expected to be championship teams.
Well, we've seen Wakefield wouldn't beat Lee. Would Wakefield beat Bradford? I don't know. It's a huge, is it? But at the end of the day, we coach it from a point of view of motivation and psychology, whatever. Should them players be motivating themselves? Because everybody is on their back. Everybody is literally
void if they get relegated.
Correct. So, you know, everybody's on at them, and quite clearly for me, you know, Witness are going there, they are too good, they're the best player missing as well in Kevin Brown. So if that's an opportunity then just to put a bit of a marker down, and you know, they get walloped by you know, Witness and
I'll make a comment on that. If they've got Cass this week, Cass have got a lot of injuries, you know, there's no excuses on this.
Cass have been looking for revenge, what happened
the
last 15
minutes.
You've
got it, but this is the game. If Wakey can't get anything here, you know, I think then you can chalk up, and then the coach's first job Well, to get a team ready for the playoffs, get me right, if you're going to be honest and talk about it like then, you've got to say that the next nine games are just preparing for that yeah. eight, because you'd be a liar if you said anything else. You can't, because then you know that one's gone. You've got to then make sure the Reds don't go down that much, because you're saying, right, scrap that league, this is the new league, this is the new one, we've got eight so many games to pull us out of it. I don't know. I'm going to take a brave man.
Well, if that's the sort of philosophy, that's the philosophy what they've taken down since Webster said that silly comment 4 weeks ago. But if you've got no confidence and you've got no form, I'll tell you what, it won't work for you, Craig. Will not work for you. Yep. That sort of attitude will not work.
Do you know what you're doing, Premiership, Gary? What they do in this position, they start bringing players in, won't they? Let's be honest. You see them teams then, they'll say, right, we need to go to chairman, give me a couple of hundred grand. That's not going to happen, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, they've got Lapini payer's wage and they've got an overseas spot now.
Right.
So they could, if they wanted, go and get, let's say, Kevin Locke from Salford, who apparently has been offered around. So they do.
Phil, they're better off playing me than Kevin Locke.
Right, and I'd second that, and I think they're better off with me on Scully.
But, for that money, they probably could get both of you.
You'd be harder to run round anyway.
But who would Richard want as a coach? On the basis of the fact that you haven't got the full palette to choose from, would you want somebody like, let's say, a Willie Poacher, who is an assistant at the moment and making a bit of a name for himself? He got the plaudits when Hull KR beat Wigan in the cup because he'd come up with the defensive system. Still lives in Wakefield, nominal mayor of Wakefield. Would you want somebody like that, that even if you are going to get relegated, there's a link there with the club, that there's something you might be able to build around? Or is he not a strong enough person?
But why would Willie Poacher want to come to Wakefield?
Well, A, he played there, he still got love for the club. B, he lives in the city. And C, he's ambitious, wants to be a head coach. Chris Chester is a young head coach who's doing quite well
I'm not sold on the coach needing to have links to the club in the past. I don't think that's necessarily important, although fans place a lot of importance on that. I think poaching, certainly if you could bring that defensive tactics, that kind of, well, that's what Wakefield need them.
Hey, hold on here. They can't defend and they can't score tries, so yes, you know,
if you can get defence sorted
other than
first,
that,
so
they're pretty good out of this guy.
They've got everything going for them.
Yeah. Defence is attitude, isn't it? And you've got to start with that. That's your first thing.
I think they need someone to come in who's experienced short term, keep them in Super League, and then work from there.
So John Keir to treat it like a cup campaign.
If it's John Keir, yeah. I mean, we saw how Batley played yesterday. I remember how Wakefield played towards the end of his tenure at the club. If that's the style of rugby that keeps Wakefield in Super League, that's the most important thing.
What about Nigel Wright? He's Wakefield links. I think Wright still goes to the games. What about Nigel Wright? He was a quality assistant coach. I had him with me at Barrow. Quality coach is Nigel Wright. What about Nigel Wright for Wakefield?
Francis Cummins knows what it takes with a team with limited resources out of the game at the moment.
Someone like that.
There's plenty of names out there, but at the end of the day, you can have, as we, I think we mentioned, 5 minutes ago off air, at the moment in time, you could bring the guru himself in Wayne Bennett, you could bring Tim Sheens, you could bring Elry Henley back for you. There's no better motivation psychology.
I think the Australian national team would
need it. But what I'm saying, but from a point of view, but at the end of the day, then players have got to start taking responsibility for the performance, responsibility of how Wakefield and where they find themselves at the moment. Because don't be blaming anybody else, because at this moment in time, you're pathetic.
Actually, you just put one on there. Sorry. I'll put my look. I think the Pearl would be good. Just thinking about.
Oh, they'll be frightened. I'm
listening to you now, and I'm thinking.
Oh, Craig, they'll be frightened.
My God, he'd walk you there.
Can he play? Can he play as well?
Trust me. But I tell you one thing, he'll do.
Be a player.
Ellery would believe he could be anybody on a given day. He has his mentality that it doesn't matter who you play.
They'll be frightened of him.
If your attitude's good, you can get through everything. So actually, that wouldn't be a bad
interesting. But he's the kind of the coach who a player of this generation could look up to, because a player of the generation before, and say, geez, he was good. I'm going to believe
Carter
what he
said when he got rid of James Webster. If anyone's got a problem with playing at Wakefield, come and see me. We'll get you out of the club. Lapini Payer's gone. Michael has said there's going to be at least one more going this week.
Interesting. Any news, Craig? Any news? Any inside info? Can you give us an exclusive?
I can't, come on! Because Michael will kill me. No,
come on! Hey, you can come to this. All you can eat £5 curry if you give us this exclusive.
If we make it £12.50, all you can eat, I'll tell you.
Right, Mark Wilson, you're not coming. He's having £12.50. Mark Wilson, you're out.
No problem. We've only got 6 minutes left. We are here. You can get all the reaction to the Summer Bash over the weekend. We don't forget, we're live at the Magic Weekend this weekend. Saturday, Hull against Hull KR. Leeds against Wigan should be two cracking matches. And on Sunday, it's Catalan against Huddersfield. Scoy will be doing that one. Cass against Wakey. Shout out as well, Andy Kelly cycling up to the Magic Weekend.
Great. And can we, you just mentioned there, great thing, what's happening. I think, can we just pay tribute maybe to the master himself in Kevin Sinfield for his points, the third now in the all-time list, would I think, is an excellent, a great achievement, you know, there. But I tell you what, when you look at that achievement, and I say many, many congratulations, Kevin, when you look at that achievement, if he was to get anywhere near Neil Fox, because I think Neil's got about 6,300, Kevin would have to play another 10 years. Can you believe that? So that just tells you a sensational point scoring machine Neil Fox was. And I'll tell you what, if you look at Neil Fox as where you see Fox today, he could put them boots on for Wakefield. He would put pride and passion into the shirt. He would score points. He would kick goals. Why not get Neil Fox in as coach? And he would put some passion back into that shirt. But just to say, Kevin Sinfield, well done on that points milestone. But if he was going to get near Fox, it would take him another 10 years to get anywhere near. Astonishing.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY.